Amen. Won't that be something when our faith will be sight? I have faith the sun will come up tomorrow morning. How about you? And when it comes up tomorrow morning, we don't have to say, well, I hope it's coming up. We'll see it. We'll realize it. And one day we'll be in heaven and we'll be able to realize everything there is to know about heaven. So it's going to be a wonderful time. I do have one announcement I think might be important to give tonight. This Wednesday, the ladies will be down here from 6:30 to 8:30. The men and boys will be up in the A-frame. And children's classes will be on Wednesday night, but no nursery, okay? So just so we have that all understood. All right, well, I kind of changed my mind a little bit here tonight, so I'm going to go to a couple other passages that I read that I think might be good to include. Tonight I want to talk to you about the charge to war, a good warfare. We are in a spiritual battle. I assume you already understand that. A spiritual battle between good and evil, between God and Satan. And I'm glad that God has already won the victory. And one day it'll all be over. But right now we are in a battle. And you might realize that things are getting darker, aren't they? Darker every day, every year. And so we just don't know, but we'll be ready for the Lord's coming. And so I want you to turn to, let's go to 1 Peter chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's look at verse 13 and read a couple of verses here. Kind of give you a couple extra passages of scripture. I think that might help and reinforce what I have to say tonight. And I trust the Lord has directed me in this message, and I trust it'll be a help and a blessing to you. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty or your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a service of God. You know, we're free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that. We're free from sin if we trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Look what it says, verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. All right? Now let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Those were the writing of the Apostle Peter that we read there. Of course, just so we all understand, I'm sure we do, but just can't assume anything. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God. So it's God breathed. God gave it to them and they wrote it down. And so it's the Lord's word. Now look at Titus chapter 3, verse 1. This is Paul speaking to Titus. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, weren't we? Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and then he says here, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. All right, I want us to turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, and we'll look here in chapter 2 and verses 1 on down through verse 8. And this is where I'll be speaking from tonight, all right? 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man at war entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. You know what? I'm in 2 Timothy. No wonder it wasn't sounding right. Oh, well, mistake number one tonight. All right. Okay, let's go back here. All right. 1 Timothy. And let's look at chapter 2. Now, this ought to sound better, I hope. All right. All right. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Look what he says here. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the true. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. All right, let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Father, I think we can clearly see here that we are to honor all men. We ought to be kind and loving, and we ought to pray. Father, you said here you gave Timothy through the Apostle Paul, the charge that first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us in the day and age that we live to war a good warfare. And, Father, that we do it properly. And, Father, we thank you and praise you for what you will teach us tonight through your word. I pray you'd help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 9:7, it says this, who goeth to warfare at any time of his own charges? Paul did not go to war on his own charges. He was charged of God to preach the gospel. And Paul, the apostle, knew that he was in a battle. And he's telling Timothy here to war a good warfare as well. May I remind you that the apostles had given authority like none other, okay? They had the authority. In fact, Paul a couple of times said, you know, I'm going to come to you with a rod and so forth. But all that authority and power they had was not to hurt people, but it was to do good and to do right, okay? You might remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira as Peter and what happened there. They sold a piece of land, which was no problem. They gave some money, which was no problem, but they lied about how much they sold the land for. And Ananias dropped dead. And as they carried his body out, in comes Sapphira. And Peter says, now tell me how much you sold the land for, and I'm just paraphrasing this now. And she said the same thing as her husband said. And Peter said, why have you conspired together to lie unto the Holy Ghost? And she dropped dead. Can you imagine? And it says in Acts chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And Paul reminds them in Corinthians of 2 Corinthians 11:5, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Paul starts out in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 1, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So where does Paul get this? He's been commanded of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's now giving a charge to his son in the faith, Timothy, to war a good warfare. All right? We're in a battle. And may I also remind us tonight, Paul said this in 2 Timothy 10, verses 3 and 5, that our weapons are of warfare are not carnal. A lot of times we want to do things on the human element, don't we? And the carnal thing. I don't know if you know much about what's going on today. I think you probably do if you tune into the news a little bit. There's a lot of disrespect for our president right now. And I understand why. But beloved, as Christians, be careful. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be praying. Okay? Praying and still honoring the office of the president. By calling names and belittling and so forth, that is not becoming of a Christian. Okay? Let's just remember that. Let's not get caught up in that. That's what I want to try and help us tonight. But here's what the Apostle Paul says that Timothy has charged to do and charging Christians that we ought to do. All right? He says in verse 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now the word good there has the idea of good in its substance and nature, and fitted to beget good. Okay? Now as Christians, we want the right things to happen. And I think it's very important that we understand this. I have 3 points tonight. The priority of prayer, the purpose of prayer, and the purity of prayer. Hey, the priority of prayer. Let's look at that in verse 1. He says to Timothy, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men." Did you know prayer is an act of obedience to God? We must not underestimate the power and importance of prayer. Okay? Do not underestimate the power and the importance of us as Christians to pray. Very important that we are men and women, boys and girls, of prayer. He says in Luke chapter 18, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint," that is to be weary or lose courage. By the way, you can easily be wearied and lose courage in this day and age, can you not? And Jesus said, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in prayer. We need to pray and not faint. It says in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things." Do you believe that? Call unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Call unto your Heavenly Father, and He'll show you great and mighty things. We need to pray. Supplications are petitions that have our personal needs in mind. Paul had in mind here those needs that are a result of policies of the governments under which we live. Now, we can understand the emphasis when we remember that in Paul and Timothy's day, they lived under the rule of Nero. Did you know Nero was ruthless? And Nero was at war with Christians in the church. God doesn't promise deliverance, by the way, does He? But He does promise to help us. And that's what we need. We need God's help. Okay, He may not deliver us, but, you know, the Bible says we're not to fear them that can kill the body, but we're to fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Okay? So that doesn't mean there won't be anything that happens to this body, but we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and nobody can take that away from us. No man. Okay? So prayer is a spiritual force that is powerful as any physical force. How about this verse, James 5, 16, at the end of the verse there, 5, 16b, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word effectual there means to be operative, to be at work, to put forth power. And the word availeth means to have power or to wield power. Okay? Now you say, but I'm not a very righteous person. Well, it's important that we live a righteous life. But may I remind you this, that he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made to what? The righteousness of God in him. You know, we have Christ's righteousness. And so we are righteous. But we need to also live a righteous life and do what's right. And the Bible teaches us that there's great power in prayer. Psalm 10:17 says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Listen, let's just humbly come to the Lord. Let's pray. You know, I often admit to the Lord, a lot of times I really don't know how to pray as I ought. But I'm thankful that when I pray, the Lord Jesus Christ makes intercession for me. Amen. Hebrews 4 and verses 16 there. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that when we pray, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm glad that Jesus prays with me and the Holy Spirit prays. And so we need to pray. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Honestly, I do not know how prayer works, but I know that it does. And if you understand it all, then you teach me, okay? You and I can rest assured that he hears and answers prayer. And we also need to be reminded he's too wise to make mistakes, too loving to give us the wrong thing, and too powerful to be denied. We serve a God who's all-powerful. There isn't anything too hard for him to do. As a matter of fact, we'll see a little later in this passage that before in 1 Timothy chapter 1, what he did for the Apostle Paul. Remember Saul? Was Saul a dangerous man before he was saved? Did the Christians fear him? They did. They greatly feared the Apostle. They greatly feared Saul. But you know the rest of the story, don't you? God saved the Apostle Paul. He saved Saul and made him the Apostle Paul. Okay, we'll read about that in a little while. So we see the priority of prayer. First of all, that's what we need to do, folks. We need to pray, and there's power in prayer. You may not even know exactly the best way to pray. Just humbly pray and declare your dependency upon God and take time to pray. Live a righteous life, and God says there is effectual prayer. It's powerful, that availeth much, and so we need to pray. And we need to pray today as much as any time we've ever needed to pray. We need to pray. Second point, the purpose of prayer. Intercession is prayer on behalf of others. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 there, and verse 2. It says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Apostle Paul reminds us in chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, of the evil man that he was before he was saved. Now let's take a look at that. Let's look at verses 13 through 16 there, chapter 1. Look what he says. He says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What is that? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You and I were once sinners. We're still sinners, but you understand, we're saved. Our sins are forgiven. They're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, in verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know what Paul's saying is this. If God can save Paul, he can save anybody. Paul was an evil man, if you will. Oh, he loved God, but he was wrong. And he shut up Christians in prison, and he was on the road to Damascus, and he was after more Christians to put them in prison. And by the way, he was there at the stoning of Stephen as they murdered a man for his faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul said, this is a worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Do you know any sinners out there? Plenty of them, aren't there? I'm talking about lost people. Do we know anybody in politics that's lost? Do we know anybody who is in leading over our country and other countries who are lost and they're evil? We do, don't we? Paul's telling Timothy to war a good fair. First of all, pray. And the purpose of prayer is we're to pray for those who are in authority. But listen to what he says there, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I have a subpoint under that. Prayer gives peace. Do you know when we read our Bibles and we pray, we get peace? You know, when you're troubled, open up your Bible and read. When you're troubled, pray. You say, Pastor Terry, is there a verse to back that up? Yeah, it's one I think we all know. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Where is Paul? This is one of the prison epistles, right? And he tells the Philippian church, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? Careful means being anxious. You ever get anxious about things? I know I certainly do. And if I want peace, then I need to pray. Look what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a result of prayer, folks. You pray and give thanks to God. In other words, you're just turning it over to God. And God will give you peace. And then he goes on, verse 8, what we're to think upon. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. By the way, is the Bible true? Is it true that God's in control? It is. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard in me, seen in me, do. And what is the result? And the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that interesting how he mentions that, the God of peace? What do these people need? Peace. Listen, if we pray and we praise, by the way, it says give thanks for all men. If we pray and praise God, we'll have peace. Listen, I remember when Tim Thompson was here. And by the way, I'll do this for one guy, okay? See how I can do that? He knows who I am. He's at home watching live stream. But he said, I need to be like Tim Thompson, and I need to go up and down. And so anyway, just want to show you, Doug, I'm in pretty good shape, okay? I can do that. But now I lost my point. Oh, yeah. No, didn't Tom say, Tim Thompson say one? I don't even remember the whole message. Sorry, Brother Tim. But he's like, oh, we can rest. Listen, we can rest in the Lord. Let's just turn it over to God. God is in control, folks. Let's pray. Let's praise God. Give thanks. Let's read our Bibles. Think about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. And you'll have peace. We can rest. You know what? I can pillow my head tonight and go to sleep and not worry. How about you? You know, and is it going to get worse? Sure, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. I'm not ready for that, are you? I mean, it's getting pretty bad already, but can you imagine perilous, dangerous days? What are we going to do in those days if those days come now? Well, we need to war good warfare. We're in God's army. We need to pray. We need to give thanks. We need to praise the Lord. And the peace of God will be ours. Just remember, prayer and praise brings peace. Can you remember that phrase? Prayer and praise brings peace. You want peace? Pray and praise the Lord. Okay? Prayer is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's that? Prayer and praise. Praying for those who are in authority. He says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Psalm 141:2 says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, our prayers are a sweet-smelling incense before the Lord. God loves to hear our prayers. He wants to hear from us. But how much time do we spend praying? We need to pray. Prayer gives peace. Prayer is pleasing to the Lord. Third subpoint there, prayer brings power to preach or to proclaim Christ. Look at what it says in verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? You know, it's God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants people to be saved, and so he wants us to pray for them. He wants us to preach to them, proclaim Christ to them, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified. That word testified means preached in due time. Verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. Paul says, I'm a preacher and I'm going to preach the gospel. And so prayer brings power to preach. Did Paul ever ask for them to pray for him that he would speak boldly? He did, didn't he? And we need to remember, even now, we need to pray for the power that Jesus Christ would be testified. He'd be preached. Because he wants all men to be saved. Remember, he came to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. He came to call sinners to repentance. So, prayer gives peace. Prayer is pleasing to the Lord. Prayer brings power to preach. You need to pray for Pastor and I and other preachers that you know of, people who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the power of God. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Suppose God visits them. I don't know if that he'd save anybody like he did Paul on the road to Damascus. But you know, we need to pray for the unsaved, amen? We need to pray for those who are in leadership. And so, the first point was the priority of prayer and the purpose of prayer. My third point tonight is the purity of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The idea of lifting up holy hands is the idea of having a godly life. You know, you and I need to live godly. And you know, we fail, don't we? We need to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We need to ask God to forgive us and to help us so that we don't continue to sin. God wants us to live a pure, honest, holy, and godly life. He says, without wrath. That's the idea of vengeance. You know, sometimes, don't you just would like to get even with some people? What does God remind us in Romans 12:19? Beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Listen, they may do things to us that we really wouldn't want done. But may I remind you, one day God is going to get vengeance? That's not for us to get. We don't need to try and get even. We can let that up to God. We just pray and submit ourselves to God and praise God, get in His Word and live a godly and holy life. God will take care of us. And we don't need to worry. In fact, we're not to worry. We're to trust Him. So the purity of prayer. We need to learn to leave justice up to the righteous judge. Doubting. Matthew 17:20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to a yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, I once read in my little daily devotion, I read a devotion every night before I go to bed, and a gentleman had in there, and he explained this, and I can't really figure it out whether it's right or wrong, but I tend to accept it. It's this. The faith of a grain of mustard seed is not just the fact that it has, oh, just a little faith, but that it's genuine faith. The mustard seed was a genuine seed. Genuine faith. Okay? We need to have faith. You know, even the apostles, Jesus had to rebuke them. He said, how is it, O ye of little faith? And one time he said, how is it you have no faith? Remember when they were on the boat and the storm came? The different gospel writers said, Jesus said to them, how is it, O ye of little faith, that you did doubt? They were in a storm. We might say we're in a storm. Maybe Jesus says to you and to me, O ye of little faith. Maybe he even says to us, how is it you don't have any faith in me? And so we have to have faith. Don't doubt. We shouldn't ever doubt God. God will do what he said he's going to do. You and I are safe and secure in the hands of God. They may kill the body, but they can't kill the body and the soul. They can only take our body. Our soul and our spirit are going to go with the Lord. I'm going to close with an illustration here tonight. Thursday morning, I and a friend walked into our tree stands to go hunting. It was dark out. You know, I didn't need a flashlight. I could see very clearly where I was going. There was lots of light on the ground, and yet it was dark outside. You know, what was out there was a moon that was shining bright. That moon shone so bright, even though it was dark out, I could see exactly where I was going. I could see the ground. I didn't need a flashlight at all. As I sat in my tree stand, and I'm looking down at the ground, looking for deer, I noticed the ground wasn't as light as it was when I walked in. I thought, well, isn't that strange? I looked up. And there was the moon, shining just as bright as when I walked in the morning. But it didn't appear as bright as it appeared when I first walked in. That's because the sky started to lighten up. And it reminded me of this. The moon was just as bright. The light was shining just as bright. But the sky was starting to light up a little bit, and so the moon didn't seem as bright. You know, Jesus said he's the light of the world. And he also said that we're to let our light so shine. Do you realize when the darker it gets, the brighter our light should shine? They might see our good works and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's dark. Is your light shining bright? Are you a testimony to the world? What's going to make our light bright? Well, when we spend time with God. You know, I'm reminded of in Acts 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus." Listen, we need to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to spend time in His Word. Our light needs to be bright for the world to see. And the darker it gets, the brighter it's going to appear. Listen, I believe there's been people saved because of what has happened in our world in the last year or so. Amen? There's people who've come to Jesus Christ. They see what we have. And so we need to let our light shine bright. It says in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation, talking about our lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles. It's the idea of the unsaved people, okay? That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Listen, we need to be full of good works. We need to be full and of God's word in our lives. We need to pray to get with the Lord, and He'll help our light to shine bright. We spend time with Him. Well, three things tonight. The priority of prayer. We need to make it a priority too, don't we? If we want to war a good warfare, because we are in a battle. And then the purpose of prayer is to pray for those who are lost, those who are in authority, that we might live a peaceable and quiet life. Listen, don't we just want to be left alone and just be able to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Now, what we should do? You know, be honest with you, sometimes I get too involved in this world. Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And when I think of that verse, when that verse pops into my mind, I honestly have to confess, dear God, forgive me, I love this world too much sometimes. I need to love you more. This isn't our home, is it? Our home is in heaven. And so let's pray, because I believe the important thing is, as we see in the scriptures, is that He wants all men to be saved. And there's power in prayer. And there's peace in prayer. And then the third thing, and the last thing that we talked about, was purity. You know, we need to live a righteous and holy life. We need to be pure. And as we are, our testimony, our light, will shine bright in this dark world. Okay? It's getting darker. The light should be shining brighter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Father, I know I've been caught up already and been guilty of kind of running down people, running down our government and president and so forth. And Father, you just showed me, I just need to pray. I just need to turn it over to you. I just need to be in your word, and I need to spend time with you in prayer. And you give me peace. Peace that passes all understanding. I don't need to worry about what's going to happen in this world. You already got it all under control. I just need to learn to trust you, to seek you first. I need to be concerned about the lost. Paul said, he's an example. He was an evil man, and you saved him. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Father, if you can save him, you can save anyone. But we just need to be faithful, praying, and living right, being a godly testimony. I'm sorry, Lord, I know I failed you many times. I remember a time when a friend and I were witnessing to someone, and they were so polite and cordial until we got to talking about the gospel. Right away, he turned mean because his Christian neighbor did him wrong. How many times have I done something like that, Father? Help me to live right. Help me to pray. Help me to praise you. And help me to shine bright as a Christian. I ask this in Jesus' name.